Welcome to Talking Up Music Education, a podcast from the NAMM Foundation. The NAMM Foundation is working to assure that all children have the opportunity to learn and grow with music, and that music is part of daily living for everyone. Talking Up Music Education podcast shares news and stories about music education from teachers, students, parents, school, and community leaders who care about music education and are working to create more opportunities for music learning. And now, here's your host, Mary Lurson.
Hello, everyone. This is Mary Lurson, Executive Director of the NAMM Foundation, coming to you with Talking Up Music Education, the podcast of the NAMM Foundation. And we are day four of NAMM Show 2017 on January 22nd. And we are in a glide path to the end of this year's NAMM Show and a wonderful series of podcast episodes that we have been doing here live from the NAMM Show. And I'm just thrilled to have with me one of my champions, heroes, great friend, Bernie Williams.
Thank you for having me. You know, some of us are limping to the end line.
Yes, we are. It's either a glide path or I actually had to go and moderate a panel this morning at 11 o'clock, and I was not cognitively present at that moment. The other panelists, who were all academics, higher ed academics, were firing on every cylinder, and thank goodness they were, because it's just tiredness. So how many years have you been coming to the NAMM Show, Bernie?
Well, it's coming to 10 years now. I've always heard about the show, the NAMM Show, from my fellow musician friends in Westchester County, New York. You have to go there. This is just amazing. Going to Sam Ash and going to a Guitar Center and listening to all of them talking about, you know, this show that happened every year. I was like, wow, I got to get into that, man. And how would I get into that? And it happened that one of the producers of my two records, Mr. Lauren Harriet, he had obviously a great relationship in the music industry. And through the Fender Company, they were able to get me a pass.
Because it is a trade-only show. We always have to say that.
Yes. Right? So, they just got me in, and I was like a kid in a candy store, just looking at everything, and I just felt so at ease. You know, the fact that it's just, you know, like musicians, you know, everything that has to do with music, not a lot to do with sports. So I came in, and I was like incognito, I was unrecognizable. I was like, wow, man, I get to be myself here. I don't have to
in case he needs a more detailed introduction for our folks, our listeners who might not be aware, and it would be amazing if you weren't aware, but Bernie Williams was a center field baseball player for the New York Yankees, number 51, now a retired number in a very important historic position with the Yankees, being center field.
Yes.
And switch hitter, and four times World Series champion for the New York Yankees. So an esteemed baseball career. But always underneath that was a passion and a profound competency for making music, right?
Yes, yes. I started playing music around the same time I started playing baseball and sports in general.
Yes, just a young child.
7 and a half, 8 years old. When it came down to music and sports, my dad was my champion. He was the one that sort of taught me the first chords in my guitar. He was the first guy that took me to the baseball field with my brother to play catch, run around, and I still in me, you know, the discipline and the perseverance to pursue. I remember that as a young kid, having, you know, everything having a purpose. Maybe I didn't know it at the time, but it was, you know, consistency, perseverance, discipline, and all those things were instilled in me by my parents.
Mm-hmm. So you went, as we've chatted over the years, you've always said that music was really the first passion or the first son of discipline, and then this baseball thing kind of happened.
I think they were at the time, looking back on it in hindsight, I would think And I would probably venture to say that they were all music and sports. They were all part of my mom's evil plan to keep me in the house.
Make sure you were
distracted,
a good kid.
Making sure that I was a good kid. I didn't get distracted with bad company and like the wrong crowds or anything like that. I think that was her vision.
Yeah.
She wanted us to have the best possible education that we could have. And she needed to include sports and arts and music. And that's the way that I saw it when I was a kid. And I developed this great love for it. I was a sort of a people's pleaser, I guess. I didn't want to disappoint my parents in any way, shape, or form. So I was a good student in school. And I got an opportunity to do, you know, the things that I wanted to do, which at that time included sports and music, only if I got good grades. So it made me work extra hard in school to make sure that I have those opportunities that I would consider not entitlement things, but just privileges, you know, and that they kept telling them, you know, you earn this, you have to do well in school, you have to do the things that you're supposed to do, and then you get to enjoy this other, you know, extracurricular activities. But it was a lot of fun, and looking back on it, I mean, I wouldn't have had it any other way.
So getting back to your time here at the NAMM show, so coming in the first time that you got to pass the NAMM show, and you look, if it's 10 years, I actually remember the first time that we hosted you and wanted to get to know you better, to have you participate in our mission and vision work for music education. I don't know if you remember, we were in Joe's office. We were actually in a conference room up by Joe's office in the convention center. And I think maybe Quincy Jones was there too. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think
remember,
I
remember. Do you vaguely remember that?
Yeah.
And we had a meeting of kind of introducing the VIPs and making them feel welcome. And you were wonderful, of course, and very gracious, but it was very clearly you just wanted to go see the trade show.
Oh, well,
and we kind of wrapped up the meeting so we could get you out on the, and you had your map. This was before we had the comprehensive app.
Yeah.
And you had things circled, and Steve Fortunato, who's actually in the room with us, your wonderful manager, and he was kind of, you just wanted to get out on the trade show. So we kind of wrapped up the little meet VIP greet, and so you could go out and
could not wait.
Yeah,
because I've always been a gearhead, you know, playing music, and especially guitar players are always about the newest amp, the newest and best piece of gear, delays, the tremolos, the overdrives, the distortions, all this like great, wonderful gear that you always get, you know.
I
was like, oh man, I can't wait to go.
I know, and we let you go. It was just one of those. We wanted to kind of, you know, have you meet a few people, but it's, he's just got to go. He's just got to go on the floor. But also, when you look back into a fast forward to this year, you and your great band were our main band on our main stage, even though we had to move indoors because of the rain. But, you know, here in a period of years, now you are one of our premier performers at the NAMM show. And you've played on the hotel stages, the smaller venues. But this year, you were right out in front as one of our main presenters. So you think, what a journey together.
Yeah, it is quite a journey. And I think, you know, the first couple of years that I, even to this day, the feeling that prevailed in me was one of inspiration. Like every year that I came, I was like, oh my God, I need to practice more. I need to go back and just be a better guitar player so I could just play. And I wasn't even thinking about playing in the showcases, in the lobbies of the hotel, or anywhere. I just wanted to like hold my own when I was in the booth, you know, like hanging out with other musicians and sort of like jamming with them. I want to be able to like keep up with them. And it was so inspirational to see all these great musicians that were endorsees of these great companies to go out there and do their presentations. And I was like, oh my God, this is, I got so much more to learn. So it was a dual thing. It was being excited about all the gear, and then more importantly, just being inspired to become a better musician. And that was just, it was just great.
Well, we sure were inspired on Friday night, man, with your band. Yeah, that was with
that
us.
That was really cool.
They were
so happy to be here. I mean, they come here and they have come here in other years. You know, they're doing their responsibilities and doing, you know, the things that they have to do. But I think it made it extra special that they were sort of backing me up.
Yeah, it was wonderful.
And they had
they're just international players of note that came together. And then you had a great walk-on artist.
Yes.
Kev Mo and Poncho Sanchez came.
They were part of the band. They were jamming with us and they felt such at ease performing, and just to validate my, you know, what I've been, you know, always thought, you know, music, you know, international language, you know it, you can communicate with people that you have never played with before, and if you know the language and, you know, if you're eloquent in it, you know, you can do whatever you want to do and you can just communicate with anybody, and that's the magic and the cool thing that I find about being a musician. It's so wonderful to have that.
So you retired from baseball in what year was that?
2006 was my last year.
And then you officially retired with your number.
Yeah, I gave it I wanted to make absolutely sure that I was not available to play anymore.
Right.
It became a running joke.
I know.
When is he going to retire?
That was kind of funny, actually.
He's 40s. He can't play anymore.
Well, right. But then they retired your number at Yankee Stadium.
And, yes. You know.
About two years ago. I got to go. It was the highlight of that year for me to be with you and your family there.
Yeah,
to put in
closure to a wonderful career for this wonderful Major League Baseball organization that had given me the opportunity to develop. That was my college experience because I signed right out of high school to play in the minor leagues. So I didn't really have the college experience. And my college experience was being a minor league player for the New York Yankees. That's where I became a man, a young adult, went into the big leagues at 22 and played all the way till I was 36, 37 years old. And what a great timing to have.
And you played for some of the greatest managers.
Yeah.
I mean, I was following the Yankees and sort of Major League Baseball at the time. I mean, Stump and oh man, you just had some of the greatest people.
Stump, Dallas Green,
Joe Torre.
Buck Showalter.
You know, I'm dying to meet Joe Torre still, remember?
Oh, we can make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as someone who kind of admires people who manage other talented people.
Joe's the
best.
He
was always someone I admired so much. So, you know, so you retired officially from baseball. You were hanging out at the NAMM show a little bit, and then you decided to go have the real college experience, right?
Yes.
You had the...
you know, my mom being an educator for 40 years in the public education system in Puerto Rico, being so geared up into academics and having a well-rounded education, it just didn't really seem to fit that I didn't even finish college. And to me, I guess college was not a means to an end. It was just to, I guess, round off, you know, my life experience. To have that opportunity to be a college graduate was something that I held very dear to my heart because of my mother. So about 3 years ago, actually it's coming to four years now.
It's 1 year out, right?
Yeah, it's 1 year out. I enrolled and auditioned into the Manhattan School of Music, and I was accepted as a, you know, pursuing a bachelor's degree in jazz performance, which I did. I completed course last semester, two semesters ago, coming into two semesters.
Mm-hmm. Big accomplishment.
It was huge. I didn't know what I was getting into.
It was a heavy lift.
We call that
a heavy lift in terms of what is, you know, any music degree is a heavy lift. Ear training, counterpoint, orchestration, right? Music history,
arranging, composing.
It's
the history of the music itself, and then just being like the old man in campus.
But the really cool old man at campus.
It was kind of funny though.
Yeah.
My experience there was, I don't know if it was because of the president of the or the dean of studies or anybody in the jazz department that I guess. First of all, most of the kids were from all over the world, which may or may not know about the sport of baseball. And to add insult to injury, most of those kids, I could be their parent. I could be their
dad. Right, right.
So I guess at some point, they weren't really too much interested in my past. But what they wanted to know was the fact that I could hang out with them at the academic level.
It's about your chops,
too,
that
I could play
right?
with them, that yeah. I could go through the harmony counterpoint classes. I could go to the jazz improv classes and the ensemble classes, and I can hang with them at the same level. And it took a lot of hard work. It was something that I took it as a challenge, and I was able to come on and do my job, and at the same time develop great relationships with the professors and even some of the students. It was a great experience that I had, and one that I will never forget, something that is going to stay with me for a long time.
So here you are, a bachelor's degree from Manhattan School of Music and Jazz Performance, 1 year out, and now you're a working musician.
Yes, I am a working musician, although I will have to say that I don't know, man. I don't really look at this as work.
Well, you know what I mean, though. I mean, you now you go out. It's not. I understand. This is a life, right?
Yeah,
this is life.
So this is too much fun,
right? But you gig in New York, right?
Yes, I gig in New York. I sit in with different bands. I collaborate in different projects.
That's what I meant by working.
Yes,
you're playing musician.
Yeah, I am right. a playing musician,
right.
And it was so funny because I think you know one of my retirement parties that the team took through me 1 year, they had this little mock sketch of VH1 Behind the Music.
Behind the
and they have this thing that they had all the coaches and all some of my teammates just into it, you know, in it. And they were like, you know, profiling me as a Major League Baseball player, but all of that was just a means to an end because I wanted to be a musician. And I took this little hiatus as a Yankee player, but all he wanted to do was to be a musician. He was just trying to pay his tuition.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, that was really funny.
And that's kind of what happened, right?
Yeah. I was able to pay, for it a couple of times over. But it is cool because I am in New York. It is the mecca of all kinds of music, and not only jazz. I think, you know, the jazz part of it is part of, it's like the academic part of it, but just to be able to know that kind of vocabulary has enabled me to participate in just about any kind of genre of music that I could ever think of. I've done work with alternative music, rock music, Latin jazz music, and everything in between. I, you know, definitely so much better for it. And but I still don't consider it as work. I mean, it's just something that I just show up and
you get to do
it. And I get to do it. And my biggest concern is that they don't look at me as this sort of baseball player that is coming into the scene and he's just showing up. And I want them to look at me as a fellow musician. And that's, you know, the thing that to earn their respect, you can't fake it. You know, you either can play or you can't. And I want to be, you know, sort of thought of as somebody that can play.
I think you are, Bernie. I think you're achieving
that.
Thank you. You have been involved with us with our NAM advocacy work for 6 years, I think, on the Hill. Is that right?
I believe so, yes.
6 years. Going to Member of Congress, advocating for a federal education law, being a spokesperson for this effort. You've been really inspiring to us. Just the fact that you've been there with us every year, you know, not just I'll go once, get my pictures, and then see if I can fit it into my schedule the next year. The fact that you've gone with us every year really has meant so much to us. And because of that, you're moving into an important new leadership role with NAM. Would you like to tell us about that?
Well, the Capitol Hill experience, I took it as, I don't know, I made it a point to be there every year because out of the whole year, you know, I saw it as the one opportunity that I would have to directly make an impact in people's lives. I mean, you can do it indirectly, and I guess I did it through baseball. Through my life now, retired, you know, more than 10 years, I've listened to people tell me how they have been moved, you know, by the way that we as a team played and how much of a positive impact we have had in, you know, so many lives as being part of the Yankee organization. So, but you never really think of any of that when you're playing. You know, your main focus is just to hit the ball, to run, to catch, to win games, you know, to try to do the best you can to win, you know, championships. So it is something that happens indirectly. But out of everything that I've done in my life, in this, you know, part of my life, this is the one thing that I actually have make a conscious effort to say, what I'm doing right now is going to impact lives. And I'm making a conscious decision to go out there and spend my time doing this because I know it's going to help future generations. And I'm at the time now that I'm thinking about what kind of legacy am I leaving? Am I leaving this world a little bit better than the way that I found it when I came into it? And these are the things that are meaningful to me. And so I'd really make it a point, and it is the highlight of my year, because I know that I'm doing something that is going to impact lives, and I'm making a conscious effort to do it, you know, not with, you know, because I'm getting paid or because I need, you know, the pictures in the paper, but because I really believe in the vision, and I believe that every kid should have an opportunity to have those opportunities in life and to be exposed to music and arts. And it doesn't matter what kind of social background or economical background they have. You know, they should all have that opportunity. So it is very meaningful to me.
And to that, to continue that, as we move through this next year, you'll be joining us as a member of the NAMM Foundation board.
I am very excited about that. A little bit nervous about it, because I'm probably going to need a lot of training. But it is probably just going to be one thing.
We'll go to spring training.
It's going to make it official. I think what I've been doing unofficially for all this time, I think we're going to, I guess, make it official. I'm very excited about it. And we gotten to know you and Joel Ahmad and all these people on the board at the NAMM Foundation and the NAMM organization. And they have become my extended family. You know, I get treated so well here. And it's just one of the things that I really do want to do.
I know. And we're so lucky. And we're going to have fun.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting.
We have a lot of great things that we can accomplish through the NAMM Foundation with your help and guidance and support. And there'll be a few things to learn along the way, but you're doing most of them. You're already serving as a spokesperson, as a champion for music education. You have difficulty walking through the NAMM show without people wanting to, that know yeah. you, have spent time with you on our fly-in trips. I mean, you really are connected to yeah. a lot of people.
But
so.
It is really cool because now I'm getting recognized here on the floor as a musician rather than a baseball player that is kind of like visiting. And that is so rewarding. After the show two nights ago, I had an opportunity to walk on the floor and I was being stopped. I would say out of 100%, probably about 75% of the times that I was stopped was to people to say, that was a great show. You know, that was, you know, you guys were, you know, that was an awesome gig. You know, thank you so much. And then the 25%, you know, I was like, can I get a picture with you, man? I love you as a Yankee.
Right. but that's never going away.
I don't think it will ever go away. And I'm not trying to downplay and be shy about it. I'm very proud of what we did as a team and the opportunity that I had to have that part of my life and being so blessed. But it's
your respect for music that you want to feel that way, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's because of your commitment to excellence too, right? And I think you're there, Bernie. And I think that's, again, why we put you on that headliner too, because we knew that everyone would recognize just the true talent and dedication and accomplishment. I got to come to the Greenwich Village Club when you gave your graduation recital. What a cool thing to do. I have to give a graduation recital in a jazz club in Greenwich Village.
I know, that was really cool.
And, you know, I heard you play on and off, but I hadn't heard you play for months and months and months, maybe longer. And I remember you opened up that set and I said, you went from being, you are now the band leader. You know, you stood in front of that band and you set it off and you write your own music and you just have authority with your instrument now and you've earned it. right?
Yeah, it has. It has
learning music is a lot of time in the practice room, a lot of woodshedding, that ear training, the context of the music through what we know about music history, you know, ear training. I used to kid you about ear training all the time, but that's what it takes. And you have that insight and that confidence then. So, and then it's a lifelong learning. We never stop improving.
That's
music gives us that chance.
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. Right. That is the one thing that I always fascinate. That one of the things that fascinates me about music is that same thing, is that you never stop learning. And there's no ceiling. I mean, when I was playing baseball, I kind of knew the things that I could do at some point, the things that I could not do. And I would, you know, work on my strengths to make them stronger and work on my weaknesses to sort of try to make them so I could, you know, tolerate, you know, them to a certain extent. But you have a clear picture of the things that you can and cannot do. And you work with that to become a good, effective Major League Baseball player. I haven't really found that in music. In music, every time I pick up the guitar, I can literally say that I can learn something new. And that is so rare. And that's what keeps me excited all the time. You know, either when I start feeling really good about myself playing, I can only, you know, just turn into YouTube and see somebody that can run laps around me.
Right.
I was like, oh my God, here we go. Back to the, you know, woodshed again. And it's this constant desire to improve as a musician is what makes it exciting for me. You can't really find any staleness, and it is so great. And to that effect, when I first started playing with the band, they were all great musicians to begin with. So I sort of went into the band as this guy that, you know, had sort of decent chops. The compositions were solid, but they were carrying me, and they were kind of like kicking me, you know, in the back and say, go out there in the front, you know, go out there. This is your band. And it is so cool because they have seen the sort of the growth over the years. And it wasn't really, you know, night and day thing. It took years. I'm talking about 6, 7, almost 8 years in which I feel strong enough and confident enough to go out there and say, okay, I have a musical director, but this is my band.
And it showed. It showed in that basement in Greenwich Village. And, you know, the lights came down. And, you know, the guy in the cool gray suit gets up there, and it's like, man, I mean, it just was electric, you know. And that's a place that's earned. Right? I mean, in terms of from the knowledge. So, Bernie, thank you so much for taking the time again to have this conversation.
Oh, it's a great honor. Thank you so much for having me.
We really have a wonderful, I guess we're heading into our next inning.
Next inning.
Our next inning. This was, you know, about 10 years. That's a little, you know, but, you know, we, you know, you got to run around the bases a lot. You know, we hit a lot of ground balls. And how am I doing with my baseball, right? you know, I also have it was kind of in your era at the Yankees that I got really hooked into the Yankees. Little did I know that when I would go to batting practice all those hours before a game would start, that it was you I was watching. But, you know, there was that cool crew of Yankees that were all of your friends, are still your friends at Yankees that I went to watch. So I want to remind our folks that we're very grateful to a NAMM member, Vocal Booth, who's helped us with our sound recording booth for our podcast. We've had a couple of days of rain, and we haven't been able to use our booth every day. But we're really grateful because when in our sunny, warm days on the plaza, it worked beautifully, and it's a wonderful product that we encourage our NAMM members to pursue, our great friends at Vocal Booth. And I'm so grateful to Bernie Williams, NAMM fly-in delegate, soon to be NAMM Foundation board member.
All right.
Guitarist, leader of his Bernie Williams All-Stars band. We hope you will come back to NAMM many, 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 many more years.
Looking forward to it.
We'll have a great time.
We're excited.
Thank you for joining us for this episode with Bernie Williams here at the NAMM Show and this episode of Talking at Music Education, a podcast of the NAMM Foundation.
Talking Talking Up Music Education is a podcast created by the NAMM Foundation. To learn more about how you can support music education in your community or how you can be part of the work of the NAMM Foundation, visit our website, www.namfoundation.org, or join us on Facebook at facebook.com/NAMM Foundation. You can also follow Mary on Twitter at Mary L. Namm. That's Mary L-N-A-M-M.